Good morning. Welcome to the Forgotten Word. This is Bob Wise with Forgotten Word Ministries. Welcome you back today. Glad you're here. Glad you can listen in. I want to continue with the same vein this week. I know it's a little different than what we normally do, but it's just I want to continue on with just some of these stories of inspiration, some examples of different things that people have done with their work for the Lord. And I'm hoping and praying that it will give us inspiration to do a better work for the Lord than what we have. We can always do better, remember. None of us are perfect, and we can always do better. So certainly none of these are meant to offend anyone. They're only meant to give you some inspiration and maybe an opportunity to take a look at ourselves and say, you know, I need to do better than what I've been doing. So in that vein, we want to continue on. I want to share some little stories about the Bible, different ones here. Let me start off here with a little story about the spiritually deaf. It says, how many there are who listen to the Word of God but never let that divine instruction penetrate their souls. Sunday after Sunday, they listen to instruction without reforming in any way. They put on a Sunday attitude like a Sunday suit. They are the spiritually deaf, who hear the Word of God but are not influenced by it. The inspirations to kindness and mercy and justice which He sends are rejected by them, and the remorse which follows our hard dealings, uncharitable words, and unethical practices is disregarded. The examples of virtue around them make no impression, and the instances for chastisement of sin go unheeded. One of them, the words of the prophet Zacharias, were fittingly spoken. They would not hearken, and they turned away their shoulders to depart, and they stopped their ears not to hear. But one cannot hear with attention two different discourses. You cannot sit at home and read a book profitably while listening attentively to a lecture coming over the radio. So also one cannot listen to the call of God and at the same time give ear to the seductions of the world. With just a little honesty, I think we can all find within us some signs of a spiritual deafness that forms the background of our confession story, and a spiritual dumbness which explains our frequent stumblings into temptations. That was from the Reverend Francis P. Goodall. And boy, I tell you, that hits home, doesn't it? How many times have you, or maybe you've noticed others in church, on and off throughout the whole service, chatting with each other and talking with each other and just, you know, gossiping or whatever, not paying half attention at all to what's being preached from the pulpit. It's, like you said, they put on a Sunday attitude like they put on a Sunday suit. I tell you, that can hit home pretty hard, can't it? So we want to pay more attention, don't we? We want to focus on what we're listening to. Another little story I read from a Dr. Congdon came out of the Moody Monthly years ago, and here's what it said. And this one I think we can all do very easily. It says, many years ago I met R.A. Torrey. Now, for those who don't know, by the way, I'll interject here, those who don't know R.A. Torrey, he was a great evangelist, preacher, pastor, was born way back in 1856, died in 1928. He was from North Carolina, and he just was an absolutely great preacher, taught some just great stuff, and he was one of the Lord's workers. So anyway, it says, many years ago I met R.A. Torrey in Baraboo, Wisconsin. I said to him one day, I am a complete failure as a Bible teacher and speaker, and the Bible is as dry as dust to me lately. I must either cease to be a Christian worker or find a way to know and love the Bible as other Christians do. Please tell me how to study it so that it will mean something to me. Dr. Torrey replied, read it. I said, I do read it. He said, read it some more. I replied, how? He answered, take some book and read it 12 times a day for a month. Well, I said, what book could I read that many times a day, working as many hours as I do? He said, try 2 Peter. Well, I did. My wife and I read 2 Peter 3 or 4 times in the morning, 2 or 3 times at noon, and 2 or 3 times at dinner. Soon I was talking 2 Peter to everyone I met. It seemed as though the stars in the heavens were singing the story of 2 Peter. I read 2 Peter on my knees, marking passages, teardrops mingled with the crayon colors, and I said to my wife, "See how I have ruined this part of my Bible?" "Yes," she said, "but as the pages have been getting black, your life has been getting white." Now that, folks, comes from where it says, though we be red as scarlet, the Lord will make us, you know, white as snow. That's just an inspiration, isn't it? And in case you're guessing and wondering, for those who don't remember, how 2 Peter is just 3 little chapters. It's not a very long book. You can read it in a matter of minutes. And that's, I think that's something we all should really try and see what happens out of it. If you do that for a month, I got a funny feeling that you're going to be able to walk around just like Dr. Congda did, and you'll be talking 2 Peter to a lot of people, because it'll become part of you. It'll become so familiar with you. I think it's a great exercise. It's a great challenge. And I certainly would challenge each of us to try this and see what happens. It'd be great to hear a month from now. It'd be great to hear some of you email us and let us know that you tried this and what it did for you. I really look forward to some of these stories coming back, some of your replies. So email us at FWM, that's Frank William Mary, FWM at adams.net, or go to our home website, forgottenword.org, and a month from now, email us and try this and let us know how it worked out. I think it'll be very interesting. I'm certainly looking forward to it. I'm going to try this myself. I've read 2 Peter, but not, I got to be honest with you, I just haven't read it 12 times a day, so let's see what we can do with this, huh? What do you think? Let's try that out. Now, I want to go on from there. This next little story might make you ask yourself this question. So let's read it real quick. It says, a woman missionary in Africa saw an unknown native coming toward her. He was dressed in the customary skins and was leading a goat. He put down his spear and tied up the goat and then said, "White lady, has God's book arrived in our country?" "Well, are you interested in God's book?" she asked. "Yes," replied that native. "My son brought me these pieces of paper and has been teaching me the words. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I heard that God's book had arrived, and I have walked for 5 days and have brought this goat to buy God's book." Then she showed him a copy of the Bible and found the place where the words were printed. "Give me that book," he entreated, "and you may keep this goat." Then he walked up and down, pressing the book to his heart and saying, "God's book, God's book, he has spoken to us in our own language." Now, the question I say we might want to ask ourselves after listening to that little story is, do we cherish God's word like that? Has there ever been a time in our lives, any one of us, that we have picked up our Bible and just really realized what it was? You see, the Bible is so readily available to us. You know, I think some survey was done recently saying that, you know, every household has 2 Bibles at minimum in it in America, in the United States. So a Bible, you know, you can go anywhere you want to and buy a Bible. You can go to a Christian bookstore, you can go to Walmart, you can go to Dollar General, little stores, places like that. Every store, by and large, a lot of stores have Bibles just readily available, anywhere from a couple dollars up to however much you want to spend on one. But they all have, the, you know, just some made of leather, some paper, whatever. But the point being, the Bible is so readily available to us that we take it for granted, don't we? It's another book that sits on a shelf and collects dust. But this gentleman grabbed the book and pressed it to his heart, walking up and down, saying, "God's book, God's book. He has spoken to us in our own language." Can you imagine the joy that that man had to feel, and the shame that we should feel, maybe, huh? That's something to think about, isn't it? Certainly something to think about. Just amazing. So that another little story real quickly about Winston Churchill. It says, when professors with high-sounding titles attempted to palm off their pernicious denials of the Holy Scriptures by labeling them the findings of science or the consensus of scholarship, some folks take them seriously and are ready to throw away their Bibles. But Premier Winston Churchill is not in that class. I'll tell you here what the rugged and eloquent individualist had to say. "We reject with scorn all those learned and labored myths that Moses was but a legendary figure upon whom the priesthood and the people hung their essential moral, social, and religious ordinances. We believe that the most scientific view, the most up-to-date and rationalistic conception, will find its fullest satisfaction in taking the Bible story literally and in identifying one of the greatest human beings with the most decisive leap forward ever discernible in human history and human stories. We remain unmoved by the tomes of Professor Gradgrind and Dr. Dryasdust. We may be sure that all these things happened just as they are set out according to Holy Writ. We may believe that they happened to people not so very different from ourselves, and that the impressions these people received were faithfully recorded and have been transmitted across the centuries with far more accuracy than many of the telegraphed accounts we read of goings-on of today. In the words of a forgotten work of Mr. Gladstone, we rest with assurance upon the impregnable rock of Holy Scripture. Let the men of science and learning expand their knowledge and probe with their researches every detail of the records which have been preserved to us from these dim ages. All they will do is to fortify the grand simplicity and essential accuracy of the recorded truths which have lighted so far the pilgrimage of man." And he's exactly right. The Bible has stood steadfast throughout the ages. It's amazing when you think about it, isn't it? That one collection of books put together to form the Bible is the world's largest largest selling book in numbers. The words have been preserved over and over, year after year, and century after century. And for thousands of years now. And it's amazing the impact that this one book has had on people and on us. We can be rest assured, as he said, we know that all of it's true, every detail of it's recorded and had been preserved, and we can stand fast in our knowledge that the Word of God is faithful and just, and it is truly the Word of God, and nothing short of that. And that's what we get to stand on. So I do hope these little stories today have given you a little bit of insight into ourselves, that we can take these stories and apply them to ourselves and see where we stand. We need to judge ourselves sometimes, don't we? So I'll join you tomorrow. We'll continue on, and God bless each one of you. Love you. Jesus loves you. We pray these programs have been a blessing to you, and they've taught you something. We feel that we're trying hard to do what the Lord has led us to do, and we pray that, and hope and pray that it has been accomplished in these programs. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, or would like to comment on the programs or send any donations to the ministry, please write us at Forgotten Word Ministries, P.O. Box 315, Camp Point, Illinois, 62320. That's Camp Point, CAMPPOINT, two different words, Illinois, 62320. God bless you.